Remix of Hey Man, Nice Shot, and we are back with Richard Patrick here on the Inner Sanctum. And obviously we talked about early history and your roots here in town, and then obviously you and Brian had a split as well.
Brian Lushkong.
Yes.
Yeah. Here's the deal. I was in a bit of denial when it came to Filter and what I just having left Nine Inch Nails, I wanted to be as inclusive as I could and really just have people in my life and let them join the band and but in all honesty, I started to, it's the model of, let's say, Bruce Springsteen or, you know, John Cougar or Trent or, you know, Queens of the Stone Age, where you just realize that, like, okay, I'm the singer, I write all the songs, I've written most of the hits, okay, I can have interchangeable people in my band. And it started with Brian, was kind of like, hey, I want to go try some other things. And I'm like, great. I took Gino and Matt Walker joined the Smashing Pumpkins for right. a little while. I found a new drummer, Steve Gillis, Frank Cavanaugh. And I worked with those guys on Tidal. And I was very inclusive once again and tried to, but, you know, Filter was, it's my band.
Right.
And so, you know, Frank actually, after Amalgama, joined the Army. And, you know, Gino is doing a band called South of Earth, and Steve Gillis is a studio owner in Chicago, so they've got their hands full. So I'm now to this point where, you know, I've had like 12 people in my band or
right.
something. It's So, Brian was an amazing part of it, but Brian's biggest function was being like an engineer slash sound designer. And... But it was the first kind of leaving of, you know, of like, oh, shoot, it's not going to be me and Brian forever. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be new people all the time kind of a thing. And I never really wanted to do that because I always wanted to have a band. I guess it's like the U2 thing. It's like Led Zeppelin. You just want the four dudes and you want to.
Bros for life.
Bros for life. Yeah. You know, but the reality is that, you know. Especially now, there are so many amazing, talented people. Mitch Marlowe on guitar for us right now. John Spiker, Mika Finio. These people are they're in their early 20s and they're like budding, incredible, blossoming musicians. And if I didn't have the kind of, you know, Bruce Springsteen, you know, band model, I don't think I would have discovered all these wonderful people and grown musically myself. In fact, when I did Army of Anyone, that was kind of like the last approach of like, okay, the four of us. That was kind of like the nail in the coffin for that, because the four people in that band were so the individualism in that band. I mean, my God, I've got
right.
Robert and Dean DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots in this band, Army of Anyone, and And it's like they have come from this massive world of Stone Temple Pilots, and it's like working with these you know. So coming back to Filter and doing Anthems for the Damned and kind of being the boss, I finally become one with that idea. And like, okay, look, I'm going to have different people on the record. John Five, come in. You know, Josh Fries, come in and play drums. You know, Josh Abraham, play guitar. Whoever, let's make a Filter record. And I think that that's where I'm at in my life with like just doing Filters, having a lot of people working, and it's kind of the Josh Homme's, you know, Queens
right.
and Stone Age situation.
Did you think after the Amalgama process and what happened right after that record and tour when you went in and
right.
and did the rehab thing and cleaned up, did you think it was going to take so long to actually get another Filter record out?
Well, you know, the record, you know, back then did poorly at selling like 300,000 or 400,000 copies, or
which
something,
is ridiculous.
Which is
it's
huge.
One of my favorite
now,
records
yeah.
from you. I mean,
yeah.
Walk Away, American Cliche.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
So, you know, it when you have one of these, you know, when the band stops working, the record company stops working. So even if I had cancer, they'd stop working the record, which is a sad thing for any business. But I had to check myself into rehab and save my life. And it had this very drastic, you know, effect on my career. But the reality is, getting kind of like the business of all of that kind of stored away, you know, I had to clean house. In Filter, there wasn't a lot of healthy people in the band.
Right.
You know, and I can't surround myself with people that are that close to the party. So in some cases, but I had to find new managers. I had to find a new record company. I had to get out of that record deal.
So was that your feeling going into Army of Anyone, that it was just kind of a break and you could be with these guys?
Army of Anyone was a huge thing for me because I was literally facing my life as a singer in sobriety. And, you know, when you're used to having a six pack of beer to get on stage every night, and you feel inhibited when you're not drunk, you know what I mean? So I literally, and it was huge because a lot of people thought I was filling the Scott Weiland kind of shoes, because of, you know, they see Robert, they see Dean, and then they see this new guy standing in the middle. And so it was amazing for me to literally, like, you know, be a sober person and be a singer and then kind of like put this whole record out and then kind of go back to Filter and have this like total creative.
Well, that was my fear when I heard that Army of Anyone was happening, and I'm like, oh man, I hope that this isn't a process where they're trying to just get, you know, a sober Scott Weiland that could do it.
Deserve to work with a sober Scott Weiland. Right. I mean, they absolutely, I mean, just even on this last tour, I'm not saying anything new. I mean, Scott, you know, missed a couple of shows.
We've heard stories. He's 20 minutes late.
He suffers horribly from his demons. And bless his heart, I know what that's like. So I wish that, you know, Robert and Dean could have just a year or two of just, you know, a sane person kind of being, you know, in their band. But the reality is, what was the question?
Well, we were talking about Army of Anyone, and I was going to mention that actually the song on that record that really spoke to me that, okay, Rich is a full part of this band, and it made me ache for a new Filter record, was It Doesn't Seem to Matter. Yeah. That to me was like, oh, that's a Filter tune. Yeah. That is like, oh, man.
I'm totally proud of that record, and I get a lot of Army of Anyone fans showing up to the Filter shows.
Mm-hmm.
I look at that as that was an awesome time in my life to work with those guys, because you know they're just so super talented. I mean, you know, Robert shows up and he's like, oh, I wrote something. I had some chords in my head when I was driving over here. You know, here it is. Oh yeah, here it is. Done. And like, you know, 5 minutes later, I'm singing. You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
So that kind of genius is really amazing and inspiring to be around.
So of course we go to the new Filter record and Anthems for the Damned. Now you said your process was to own the fact that this was your band.
Exactly. I finally decided, okay, if you're going to be the leader and if this is going to be kind of like a dictatorship and this is going to be, you know, who do you want to play drums? Well, let's get Josh Freese, you know.
Right.
If I'm gonna collaborate with a guitar player, I'd like to collaborate with Wes Borland. I'd like to collaborate with John Five. I still did a majority of the songwriting on my own, but the amazing thing about Anthems is that, you know, a lot of the fans that get that record are like, we love this record, Rich. We love it, but when are you going to get heavy again? So going back on the road and being in front of my fans, we've just really turned the clocks back and made it like just super heavy again.
Sweet.
Because the Anthems was such a relief. The whole record was inspired by a friend of ours that had gotten killed in Iraq. And we wrote him the song, you know, Soldiers of Misfortune. But the stuff that I liked the best on the record was What's Next.
Oh,
and
yeah, great.
The Take is something that John Five and I wrote, and it's literally just a total tip of the hat. Because I'll tell you what, Nine Inch Nails and Filter owe everything to Skinny Puppy and Ministry. That is where industrial music
really... I'll throw some
really,
Knights of Reb in there.
Knights of Reb, exactly. Knights of Reb. There's, honestly, Trent took their sound design and their kind of like, you know, their approach to keyboards. Because, you know, most people think of keyboards back then, you know, it's Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't get enough.
Synth
I just,
pop.
It's like real, it's like, yeah, it's yeah. like Information Society or something like that.
Well, even Chris from Sister Machine Gun, a label made of Nine Inch Nails back in the day, was pissed over like the way that Nine Inch Nails took
well,
off
yeah.
from.
But yeah. Trent was smart. Trent had this kind of pop sensibility. Come on, you know. Well, you got me working so hard lately.
Right.
Working my hands until, you know, I mean, that's some pretty pop stuff.
Something I can never have, yeah. you know, pop a dark.
Yeah. Yeah, but he put that industrial spin. He just kind of put that hat on, and that's how Nine Inch Nails became massive because for the most part, kids didn't – you couldn't hear Skinny Puppy on the radio. You couldn't hear – Nyvik Ogre is such a hard pill to swallow for mainstream America that when you get like the pop sensibility of Trent's voice, it became like, oh, I get it. It was a huge crossover. Genius, you know.
Right.
But nevertheless – I'm going to, you know, own up to the fact that, like, you know, the take on the, a song on my record is completely inspired by Paul Barker and Al Jorgensen from Ministry, you know. And,
well, let's check it out. Here's the take from Filter on the Inner Sanctum.